that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this morning, live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And we tell you good morning and we say good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And hopefully we got John on the line. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And John's up and drinking coffee this morning. And we say good morning to you and good morning, Holy Spirit. And John, would you open us up in prayer this morning, and then we'll open the phone lines up if you'd like.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before you humbly this morning, grateful for this time that you set aside for your people to come and to discuss the things that are going on in the world. And Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct us, and that you would show us what it is that needs to be revealed and needs to be talked about. Pray for a special anointing to be upon us this morning and upon all those that are listening and have something that they'd like to talk about. Pray that you would put it on their heart to call in and discuss it. Pray for your blessings on today. And we thank you, Lord, for all the provisions that you provide each and every day. We ask that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming, and that you'd remember grace and mercy in your wrath for your people, the remnant. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, Jason, didn't know if you had something you wanted to fire up on this morning. I got a couple things I thought I'd bring comments on, but I'll sure see if you want to start things off this morning.
Guess not.
Guess not. All right. Well, you know, today is the 19th, April 19th. A lot of things happened today in history. Waco. I believe Ruby Ridge was right around this time. Oklahoma City bombing, I think, was right around this time. The shot that was heard around the world back in, was it 1775 or 1776 on Lexington Green, I believe, they attribute to April 19th. And so it's a time, I was thinking this morning, that, you know, the people that are in law enforcement and that type thing that are still our people, but that still have their eyes closed to what's going on. I bet they think, you know, this time of the year, the crazies just go crazy because of these things. Yeah, but it's because of those that don't have their eyes open, that don't see that this is the beginning of the year. You know, we're still within the first month of the solar year, and that's just what it is. It is the blood sacrifices of our enemy. It's the time of year that they make their sacrifices. And
looks like the federal government was off by a week on their standoff in Nevada.
Yeah, well, and there's a good bit coming out that, you know, it surely didn't end the way they wanted it to. Saw one.
No.
Go ahead, John.
No, go ahead.
Hey, I was getting a drink of coffee. Saw one news article here. Senator Reid. Yeah, that's Harry Reid. I ain't going to say what he is on the air. There might be children listening in. Senator Reid calls supporters of Mr. Bundy domestic terrorists. And that was just last week that he, him and his son have come out publicly saying that, oh, you can't do this. You can't stand up against law and get away with it. He says...
He doubled down on Friday, too.
Yeah. Says, they're nothing more than domestic terrorists. I repeat, what happened there was domestic terrorism. And so, you know, as today is the 19th, then, Remnant, if you have a history book, if you can look back or just Google it, go back and look at what happened on Lexington Green on April 19th. When an ungodly military force came and said, lay down your arms, you damn rebels. And the people said, no. And whoever fired the shot, it doesn't matter. But a war ensued. And, you know, I heard a little bit on the radio the other day. They were talking about slogans and battle cries. And, you know, they talked about, we hear things like, remember the Alamo. And in the Revolutionary War, remember the battle cry? And I got my hopes up, unfortunately, because they said, remember the battle cry in the Revolutionary War was, don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes. And it's like, that ain't no stinking battle cry. But the battle cry then was, no king but King Jesus. And we have the history books that show that. We have The Light and the Glory available for, I think, a $22 offering. And it is a true history book, a lot truer than you'll see in this common communism core that is permeating the public school system. And those things are fomented by when the politicians say, you people that aren't obeying our ungodly laws are just domestic terrorists. Anyway. Well, the phone line's ringing early this morning. Let's go to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I was listening to you talking about April 19. Last year about this time, there was an article on the Vigilant Citizen, and I think it might be thevigilantcitizen.com, but it says the cult of Baal never disappeared, and then they list those April 19 things like Waco and Oklahoma City. But they got a couple pages of articles. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're just taking it in.
All right. It says, as a sun god, Baal's worship involved human sacrifice and fire. Today, the occult elite ruled America, This time period often equals fire or gunfire and death. These rites are even mentioned in the Bible. I can't say that's a fact. I don't know. April 19th through May 1st, blood sacrifice to the beast, a most critical 13-day period. Fire sacrifice is required on April 19th. So that's just part of it.
Well, appreciate you bringing that up. I know that it is. I know, Jason, you brought that out in the past and listed all the many different things that have occurred in this time period.
Yeah, what were you reading that from?
It's called The Vigilant Citizen.
Vigilant Citizen, okay.
And it might be vigilantcitizen.com. I'm getting emails from them every now and then, but I can't remember what the site name is.
That is interesting.
Interesting. It corresponds with what the world calls Easter, too.
Right.
As they worship the Queen of Heaven, the sun god, you know.
Okay, well, I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Hey, thanks so much for doing that.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a good weekend. 307-745-5913 if you want to call in this morning. And this Harry Reid, you know, what he does. Now, Bundy, you know, I may not agree with Bundy. I certainly don't agree with his religion. Says here that Reid says, you know, Clive Bundy doesn't recognize the United States. The United States, he says, is a foreign government. He doesn't pay his taxes. He doesn't pay his fees. He doesn't follow the law. He continues to thumb his nose at authority. And, you know, as far as I can tell, Clive Bundy does pay his taxes. Now, he hasn't paid the grazing fees when the BLM took over the land and added the fees to the land that he'd been grazing. And you can see by the actions over the last 20 years what the BLM has done. They've done there like they've done just about everywhere else, is they've run all the other people off. And I think it does tie into this Agenda 21. Bundy does follow the law of the land, other than this one issue. And the supporters were dangerous to the community.
Interesting to note, too, that I read an interview with him that he said when he figured out that they were taking the grazing fees to buy out the ranchers, and to run them off.
Yeah,
that's when he quit paying it.
Well, you know, when the people
he used to be right in the middle of 52 ranchers.
Yeah,
and you know, he was the last one. You look at how many of the ranchers have been bought out, run off the land, kicked off the land for one reason or another. This first time that they've tried to do this. You know, you look at what's been going on down in Texas with them doing with BLM doing the land grab in Texas is, you know, it's pretty obvious it is part of their agenda, and that agenda is to get people off the land and get them. You know, they don't want people. It's not just the land; it's food, and that's what's coming off the land is people are raising cattle. And so there's just a lot of different ways to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called oppression.
Like Richard said, you see that, and it's not about agreeing with, you know, do you have to agree with him 100% and agree with him on his religion? No, I mean, he's a Mormon, and don't agree with that, but at the same time, when you have a tyrannical government that is kicking people off the land, you know, that's not right. That's wrong. And, you know, it's just like we know that they're stealers, they're killers, they're destroyers, and that's what they're doing here. They've been stealing land, stealing cattle, killing cattle, and destroying a family-run business. And you look at these farmers that are getting gone after everywhere from Texas to Oklahoma to Nevada, it's the farmers that have been, we're talking third, fourth generation ranchers, farmers, that are the ones that are being attacked.
Yes.
And, you know, it's the same thing that's going on. It's another, you know, alphabet soup entity that's going after them. I mean, there's really no difference on what this than what the EPA is trying to do in Wyoming and take the land from the ranchers up there. You know, it's they're doing it under many different names and different reasons, and it's just, you know, that's the times that we're in.
That's right. And we've seen it back east. The EPA will come in with their Clean Waters Act and say, oh, you know, your 4 acres here, or your 40, or your 400, are a watershed for this pristine river we're trying to take care of 17 miles away. And so we need to take your land so that, you know, the spotted frog has habitat, or so that, you know, the one horse or cow you have, or the 100, the runoff, doesn't damage the river. And the lies that they put forth, and they've used this. They've destroyed homes. They've destroyed farms. It's what they do. You know, back in the 80s, not everybody remembers, but back in the 80s, you know, the farms were being taken over left and right. Now, everybody claims that it was the bankers doing it, and they sure were in there hand over fist. But the places that the bankers couldn't take, the EPA stepped in and did all they could to just abscond it. Well, the last of this article says the BLM officials have said they'll continue their fight through the courts. And so we'll see.
Yeah, but did you see Harry Reid kind of tipped their hat and said they're forming a federal task force to deal with this situation?
Well, good. If you saw any of the videos, you see that you see that the people had formed a task force as well. I'm going to touch base on it. I think I got a couple pictures to show in the scriptural review of the news tomorrow at church. And just had a couple pictures. I think we wrap up on it. But the videos that came out, you know, the people, they were, I know the one video there at that last showdown underneath the big overpass.
Bridge.
The bridge, yeah. There must have been 50 or 60 cavalrymen is all I can call them. They were armed. They were on horseback. They were lined up. And, you know, you see stuff from Harry Reid and certain things that, oh, the people are dangerous. They had women and children lined up out in the front. Well, I didn't see that in the pictures.
No.
That they had women and children lined up front. I saw men there with guns and on horseback and on foot. Standing peacefully, armed. Anyway, go ahead.
I saw something on the news, I think it was yesterday, where as soon as Harry Reid called them domestic terrorists, they got those right on name tags, and they wrote domestic terrorist on them and put them on all everybody who's there, the kids and everything else, and then they showed that,
yeah,
just to kind of prove a point.
Yeah. Well, you know, when our forefathers were here and stood up on April 19th to the British general that came in and said, disperse ye rebels and throw down your arms. They were labeled as domestic terrorists. And so, you know, the words are weapons of our enemy. And so when they can convince the masses that you're a domestic terrorist, or a racist, or something along those lines, well, then they think that when they can come in and try to destroy you, that validates it in the mind of the masses. And I think they've done that before, but I think that their spell is breaking. It's not working as much as it used to. You know, I think that's why this SOB Mr. Reid decided to use that term, you know, because they haven't really brought the term out like this before. But he sure, you know, it's time to play that card. It's time to play that domestic terrorist card. And, you know, maybe get the Southern Poverty Law Center involved and that type thing. And I don't think that, you know, he might have played that domestic terrorist queen, but I think the King of Kings still has his king and ace to play. Because I don't think that it yep. got the result that that Mr. Reed wanted. Well, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in this April 19th, 2014 morning. And had a, on a totally different note, got an email in from Dan up in the Bay City, Michigan area, said he's got a friend up there to get baptized. And we got a call on, I think it was Thursday night, and let us know. And then I spoke to some people yesterday that and got an email back to Dan in Bay City that there is a Church of Christ in that Bay City, Michigan area. So we encouraged him to look to that. And because normally the Church of Christ will baptize properly. And so hopefully that's going to be in the works. And then if you can't find a Church of Christ that will baptize properly, then, you know, we'll sure see if we've got somebody in the area. I know Dan there has been on the ministry quite a while, so we'll see if if he can get his friend baptized. So that's always good news to have those type of requests come in.
Amen.
Yeah, it is. And talking about, you know, just a good place to be, you know, and, you know, talk about protection. It's like, you know, we see this, you know, this land grab and these, you know, what they're doing with people. And, you know, it often reminds me of, you know, to think about what jurisdiction are they under, you know, and, you know, you see things happening, but do you see things like that happening to baptized Christians been transferred from one domain to another under, you know, one jurisdiction into another jurisdiction? And, you know, I was talking to with somebody this week about, you know, just, you know, how important that is when we are transferred from, you know, man's jurisdiction or under the jurisdiction of, you know, whatever you want to call it, the federal government, you know, a U.S. citizen. You know, there's a lot of different names for it, but you're under one jurisdiction, and when you're transferred into that other jurisdiction, that takes place at, you know, baptism for the remission of sins, the name of Jesus Christ. Not only are your sins forgiven, but you're transferred from one domain to another. And how, you know, I don't even think that we grasp how much that has an effect on things, on that protection, that covering that protects our family, our property, our you know, our houses, to keep us, you know, keep things like this from happening. I remember talking with the pastor back when you know, Waco took place, you know, and we talked about, now if, you know, these Branch Davidians, if they believed in baptism for the remission of sins, the name of Jesus Christ, and practiced it, could that be possible? Would that be allowed to happen? And, I mean, I'm not saying I know for sure, but, you know, it's a good question. It's something that people really need to think about.
Yes. Absolutely. It is. It is. You bring up a good point. You know, when you were talking about that, I remember, you know, the Battle of Blood River, you know, in the 1800s down in South Africa. And, you know, you had about 200 some odd settlers and about 10,000 Zulus coming against them. And the settlers rounded up their wagons, and they knew it was coming. And they called a day of fasting and prayer. And I'd bet my boots they were baptized Christians. I know they were Christian. And
I know they were praying.
They were praying. And they, you know, they called out to God Almighty, to Jesus Christ, to save them. And when those 10,000 Zulus came against them in the war, they fell. The Zulus did wave after wave after wave. The cattle that were inside the circled wagons did not stampede, didn't run. They had no major injuries. They had a couple of scratches were the only injuries that these 200-some-odd white Christian settlers had. And when they interviewed, years later, when they interviewed some of the Zulu warriors, after peace had come, at least for a time, what was left of them. Yeah, well, it was some of the youth that were there that, you know, 40 years later, they got to interview them, and they said that, yeah, what defeated them was the shooting that was coming out of the clouds up above them, that's what the Zulus could not overcome. And I think, that, Jason, it ties in with just what you're saying. I think I know that is the protection that those that are his have. We have that in what we would call modern day. You know, that's only been a couple hundred years ago. 2,000 years ago, and you know, we have the record of 3,000 years ago in the Babylonian captivity of the mouth of lions being closed when his people were put before him, and his youth walking in the fiery furnace, and it didn't bother him. Why, Jesus Christ himself just came and walked with him and had a sweet fellowship with him. That's the protection we have as baptized Christians. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys. This is Tim, and I was kind of another point there that I thought was interesting that went along with what you guys were talking about as far as jurisdictional issues was that even Harry Reid recognizes the fact that, Harry Reid recognizes the fact that there's a difference in jurisdiction there. When he was calling those guys that went out there and stood up for the Christian principles that date back to even before the foundation of our world as we know it, he said, well, his quote was, we can't have an American people who ignore the law and then just walk away with it. And, you know, his quote right. basically was separating himself, we, the ruling class,
right.
the, you know, engendered class, we can't
not
have
them.
We can't have you guys doing that, this other jurisdiction or these other people. That might spread, you know, that might be... you might have something else. And the other thing is that ties in there too is if you go back to the protocols and some of the other stuff is they say it, you know, they'll be a lot easier to manipulate if they're not landed. And, you know, if you want to get down to it, you've got the property tax issues, you've got the all the regulatory agencies, and if you really boil it all down, it all comes right down to they want to leave you with nothing, totally dependent upon them. And put you in their jurisdiction because that's how they can get you there, they think. I mean, and so we see Harry saying, yeah, there really is a they and a us, you know, or a they and them. And I just thought it was kind of interesting that he separated himself out into that. So just a
Tim, they have an apartment for you right next to public transportation, so... They're building all these high rises next to all this public transportation, and they'll provide for you, so don't worry. I mean, you don't need your house that you can self-sustain your ranch or your farm.
Yeah, they have that apartment for you. And right next, you know, and in the apartment next door is a family of 12 Nigerians that they're bringing in. And, you know, and it's okay for them to have, you know, hang their dead goats and dead chickens out the back window because that's part of their culture, but you can't do that.
Yep. I was talking to one fellow there last night, and we were talking about some of the doctrinal differences, I mean, or the religious differences, and like you said, I'm not a Mormon, I don't support the Mormons, but looking at it another way, I haven't seen any cases where they're in there taking the Mexicans' farms, so, or ranches, but, you know, there's some things there that are kind of, interesting that, a lot of these ranchers that they're grabbing date clear back to the 1800s, family-wise. You know, they want to root those long-time holders out, it seems to me, or at least it's a thought. So, anyways, I'm enjoying the show, and I'll listen. So, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for calling.
307-745-5913 if you want to call in this morning, if you have a comment or a question.
Well, it looks like we're going to get a little bit more practice in saying no, because there's a bill going through the House and the Senate right now, another hate crimes bill. This time it's called the Hate Crime Reporting Act of 2014, Bill S-2219. Would create an updated comprehensive report examining the role of the Internet and other telecommunications in encouraging hate crimes based on gender, race, religion, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. So essentially they want to make it illegal for you to say anything against any one of those things on radio, TV,
or the Internet.
Internet.
Wow. And what, that's House Bill what?
House Bill S-2219. Senator Edward Markey, Democrat from Massachusetts, tried it 20 years ago. Well, there's part of the problem. He's been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
Tried it in 1993. Spiritual warfare. That's what we got to realize.
It is. It is.
Only way to win it is to through prayer, spiritual warfare.
Yeah, that's what it is. Amen. I mean, and there's a lot. This, I don't know, this House Bill 14-1288 in this that's taking place in Colorado right now. I was talking to a chiropractor who was actually going down to Denver to testify on this one, and it's a bill that basically does away with all your parental rights when it comes to vaccinations, and it that's the same thing that I was saying. It's like this is going to give us practice on saying no, because yes. People have no idea that there's so many of these things taking place right now. I mean, nobody could keep track of all the House bills of House Bill 1288, 1236, you know, the stuff that they're trying to get passed right now. And it's right now, they're getting bombarded with trying to get these things through. And people don't even know about it. Usually it takes 6 months, a year. Sometimes it's years down the road before we even start to enforce or take action on them. But is what they're trying to do is they're trying to get everybody to the point where, just like they're calling these people domestic terrorists. Well, you know, if you go against the vaccination programs or speak against them, you could be considered a domestic terrorist.
Right.
And they're trying to get everybody into the position where they can call anybody they want to a domestic terrorist. And they've already, Homeland Security already can take somebody. If they deem them a terrorist, they can throw them away, lock them up, throw away the key.
Yeah. With no explanation.
With no explanation. And indefinitely, as long as they want, you know. And so, I mean, that's already been ruled on, and that's already been practiced here in the United States. So now they're to the point where they're trying to classify anybody that they want, which is everybody, that if they can put everybody into the class of domestic terrorists, then basically they can come and they can, they can try. I guess I should say that'd be better put, but they can try to take whoever they want, put them away for as long as they want.
I think that's their plan. That's their plan. Been their plan all along. And that, I think that's why you go back even to 10 of 01, right after 9/11, when they passed when our good old Texan buddy, Mr. Bush, passed the Patriot Act and pushed that in. Well, you know, everybody was up in arms, and we got a couple callers. Callers, we'll get right to you. But everybody was up in arms then, thinking, oh, well, so now, you know, because they had all that terrorist language then. Well, they laid the groundwork. They laid the groundwork. And so now you see, like Tim said, Mr. Harry Greed, how he puts in and tips his hand and says, well, now, if you don't agree with us, you're a domestic terrorist. And they are working hard to spread that moniker all over. Well, let's go to the phone lines, guys. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Can you hear me?
Maybe not quite so loud there. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Brother Darren out here in West Virginia.
Good morning,
Darren. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord shall lift up a standard. We know that. I have some good news for you. Out here in West Virginia this past week at a little Church of Christ out in Sissonville, West Virginia, 7 people were baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. That is good news.
When the enemy comes in like the flood, the Lord shall lift up a standard.
Amen.
And the 7th person baptized this week was my son-in-law, and his name is Matthew. And he's the father of my 7th grandchild, and his name is Isaiah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is moving, pouring out his spirit like Pastor Peter's taught us, happening right now. Just pray for us. I mean, there's more people coming.
Amen. Amen to that. You know, just about the time we think that we are so few in number we can't do anything, and that they have the masses, you know, we need to be reminded that, you know, God has always had his 7,000. At least
right.
7,000 that
right.
that have not bowed their knee to Baal, and that continues on. Dan, thank you so much for sharing that with us, and know that we do keep the remnant in our prayers. We ask you to keep us in your prayers as well, but we do pray for the remnant daily, and it's good to know that there's another 7 added to that number of the remnant.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a powerful day.
You too. God bless.
Thank you.
And let's stay with the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Good
this is Jim from Iowa.
Morning. Good morning.
I want to really say how much I enjoy your Saturday morning program, and I'd like to share with you what happened to me a number of years ago, back in the early 60s, when I came to the truth of water baptism in Jesus' name.
Sure, go right ahead.
I was at that time getting ready to go to the Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. And I was going home from church one Sunday morning, and I heard a pastor on the radio make the statement that there's way more to Christianity than getting saved every Sunday morning and Sunday night. I had to talk to that man. And when he introduced me to Acts 2:38, what a glorious adventure I've had ever since, after going down into the grave for the remission of my sins. And it was amazing the argument that those that opposed me made, and basically they said, who can you believe? Peter? Which we know he was drunk, or when he made that statement. And naturally, they asked me to leave the Baptist church over this.
Really? Yeah, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't like it a whole lot when you say things like that, do they?
No. And everyone I've introduced this to, especially the pastors of churches, they cannot reason with you. And I was 16 at the time, And I knew I was on the right track when they couldn't reason with me. If yes. they would have said, Jim, I think you're erring, and I would love to sit down with you and show you where you're making your mistakes, I would have listened. But they couldn't do that. And it can't be emphasized enough what a change takes place in a man's life when he submits to water baptism.
Amen. You know, Mark 7 it comes to mind. Mark 7, starting in verse 6, says, And he, meaning Christ, said to them, Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. And yeah, we're talking to you in the Baptist church that Jim just mentioned. You hypocrites in the Baptist church. As it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. And I think that that certainly applies, Jim. And you know, these are the same people that are going to say, Oh, Lord, Lord, oh, didn't we pray in your name? And didn't we prophesy? And didn't we worship you? And blah, blah, blah. And he's going to say, Depart from me, I never knew you. Because they deny the simple commandment of God. Jim, I think we all stand in agreement with you. I think we've all experienced that life change that comes when you finally submit to the simple act of baptism, of belief, yes, but repentance and baptism. And then the word comes alive.
Yes, hallelujah. Well, I just want to thank you for your testimonies and your program, and God bless you.
Thank you, Jim. God bless. Got one more line ringing here. Hey, thanks for calling in. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, good morning, friends, and to the remnant. This is Henry in Michigan.
Good morning, Henry.
I called in Thursday. Calling on Saturday, if I get in.
Sure.
The show isn't coming through the signal. I just had to let you know that.
Yeah, we've got, I know Jason's been on that this morning. He's got some people heading out there to work on that.
Yeah,
now, I still got it. I don't know if it's your phone because I didn't have it on the other caller, but just a lot of over modulation. I don't know if
Oh, you don't hear me well,
speaking away from the.
Yeah, I don't know if you can move the phone a little bit away from you when you talk, but it's just really just.
Okay. Let me get upstairs. Okay. I'm outside now. Can you hear me now?
Well, it's still doing it. It just sounds like you got your mouth right against the phone really loud. I'm trying to adjust the levels here, but...
I've got this on speakerphone.
Yeah, that might...
Maybe I should just call back.
Yeah, yeah, try that. Try not a speakerphone. That might help.
Yes, that's what I'll do then.
Okay. I got one more caller here. Do that. All right, sir. And good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. On the subject of ignoring the commandments of God, I woke up this morning with, for some reason, I remembered that it was today was April 19th. I thought about all the things that have happened on April 19th and April 20th, and I had the urge to pray about it. And I think it would be more effective if we all prayed about it, I'd say. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come to you and we ask you to confound any plans they have for these magical dates of theirs and turn anything that they plan and anything that they try to do back upon them and expose them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
And you know, Bill brings up a very good prayer there. And you've heard us, you know, try to, I guess, encourage you, to remind you, remnant, to pray that Lord's prayer every day, and to pray on the full armor of God every day on yourself and on your family. You know, husbands and fathers out there, it's your responsibility, you know, to do that very thing, to cover your wife, to cover your children, grandchildren, if you have them. With your prayers, to pray that full armor of God on them. You know, you've heard it said today, yeah, we have we have the physical battles, but it's truly a spiritual battle. But we have the weapons that we have are for the tearing down of strongholds and the tearing down of fortresses. And you have to access them. You can't just sit out there all proud and haughty and say, well, I got it. I'm a Christian. I've got all these things. No, it's a daily fight of faith. And we've been taught, I think, that, and we do our best to pass on, that you have to do that. That's if you're not doing it, try it. You know, try it for 30 days, praying the Lord's Prayer and the full armor of God on daily. And, you know, and read all of that of Ephesians 6, because it talks about, you know, once you do that, yes, standing and praying for the saints, and see if you don't see a difference in your life. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, this is Henry again. Can you hear me?
That's a little better, Henry. Yes.
Okay, that's a speaker phone, apparently. Okay, I'm calling about two blessings, two big ones that I've received through tithing and walking in a way. The first one, on July 19th at about 1:15 p.m., there was a big storm come out of the west, and I'm standing in the big picture window watching this thing come in. It looked like a big black boxing glove coming right at us. And I went outside, tied everything down, but watching the storm come in, and the wind started howling and screaming. I mean, it was about as close to a tornado as I've ever been. This thing come in and ripped the soffit right off my house. And it's a ranch style.
Okay.
Blew it right off into the bean field. I'm in the country. About 40 yards, that thing flew in three pieces. Then the rain come through sideways. I mean, this thing was screaming like when two packs of coyotes get together and start screaming. You can't make sense of it. I'm standing there, and all that, yeah, it lasts maybe 10 minutes. And we went outside, my son and I. He was 28, and we went out, or 27. We went outside and looked at the damage all around. I turned back, looked at my house, and that whole soffit was gone. We went back in the house, and water was tripping through the ceiling. We got garden cans and tarps and put them down. We managed, my son and I, we got everything out around that half of the house as the water's dripping down, and we're managing ceiling falling. But anyway, it turns out that there was $24,000 worth of damage. So we ended up with new ceilings, new paint, new wood floors. I mean, half the house was replaced. We had a new roof put on 3 years ago. We had a new roof on now. I mean, it's just half the house was repaired. It's beautiful now. That was one blessing. And the other one is my son, my other son, 30 years old. Him and his four-member family moved to Minnesota. He's a welder. And work here is spotty. He went there, and he took everything he owned. He went there. He had talked to people, you know, headhunters. He got there, and he got down to his last $150. And he prayed. He got a phone call. And now he's near $20 an hour as a welder. And, you know how that pleases, I guess you would, you know how it pleases a father when his son does well and keeps his family happy. Those are the two blessings, big ones. And I attribute that to tithing and walking in the way.
Amen. Amen. Well, hey, we appreciate you calling and sharing that. That's I know it's inspiring to the remnant to hear, when God does those things. They're faith builders. Sure appreciate it.
Yes, the last book I bought from SFA, The Great Pyramid Decoded, The Second Witness to the Holy Word of Scripture. Wow. Wow. It's one little last thing. This is something I wrote over on Passover, April 2nd, 2014. This is Men of Acts 2:38. Through the Holy Spirit on the wings of eagles, Pastor Peter, with united men of the house of Jacob Israel, have soared in the holy word, reigning truth, flooding our soul in the holy word of joy, while ground squabbling sparrows of Edom nip at their heels. The golden bull of eagle could not throw our cowboy bull rider preacher of Scripture. Hallelujah. The sword of the Lord and SFA. And that's about it for this morning that I called in about.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for calling in and sharing that with us. Have a blessed weekend.
Thank you, brothers and friends.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Got a little time left here. 307-745-5913. You know, we mentioned that... go ahead, John.
Something significant that we need to remember, too, is when our brother Howard from Alaska called in on Wednesday, and he's been working on a lady who owns the building where he houses his truck and works on it and everything, and to get her baptized for her to see the truth, and gave her how to become a Christian, and don't miss out in Acts 2:38, the flyers that Scriptures for America puts out. And she actually took them to her pastor and gave them to him and said, read this and tell me where they're wrong. And the pastor couldn't tell him where they're wrong, and he said he was wrong, and then baptized her properly the way that it's taught. And that's significant. And last night I had the opportunity, actually, I had dinner with some friends, and one of them's a youth pastor, and then another one used to be a pastor, but been through the seminary and everything, and we got to talking about baptism and the Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of Remembrance, and he's like, well, look at you, you're teaching a seminary student here, and I'm going to have to look into that. And then the youth pastor said, well, I'm going to have to bring this up with our pastor and see what's going on here. I said, you show me in the Bible where it says that baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. And he's like, well, yeah, I guess I can't do that. Yeah. So you show me in the Bible where it says that all we have to do is accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Yeah, I don't think I can do that either. So Amen. We just got to start being bold and proclaiming the truth. And, you know, if they mark us as crazy, well, so be it. But we're fulfilling what God told us to do. So,
Amen.
Fulfilling the Great Commission.
Amen. Got a text in this morning from Chris. He said, I'm not a terrorist, but I work for one because God's a terror. And we talk about that awesome and terrible day of the Lord that's coming, that the Bible talks about. Read the beginning of the book of Revelation. There's a warnings in the beginning, and then here it comes. We know it's coming. And he's absolutely right. You know, we are a terror to them, but the word is truth. And John, I think that when you know, you have that opportunity, you know, the time seems to be right to where, you know, those that are his, that are in those positions, be it law enforcement, be it that pastor that Howard was able to get to through that other woman, or the ones you were speaking to last night, you know, it seems like the time is right, that the clock's ticking down. And, you know, God is not slow according to, as some see slowness, but he's patient, not wanting any to perish. And, that the baptism is so important. It, you know, it's, as Jason said earlier, you know, it's where we come out of the jurisdiction of this world where the people like Harry Greed can do what they want. And we move out of that jurisdiction into being overcomers with Christ. You know, Romans 6 tells us, starting in verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And
Amen.
Just not taught.
It's
I'll tell you,
untaught.
When people take the time and they listen to you is when you can recite scripture and you know the stories, the truth. These guys had never even considered the fact that there's an age of accountability, never even considered what happened on Mount Sinai with Moses and how God said, none of you that worship.
And these people are
the golden calf would enter the kingdom.
And John, these people are the blind teachers of today, aren't they? Because they're the ones out teaching in the churches.
Mm-hmm. We got to talking about communion some too, and he said, you know, I've had a problem because they just pass communion out to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, little kids and everything else. And I said, yeah, well, duh. What does the Bible say? If you don't partake properly, you eat and drink judgment upon yourself.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you know, you're right. And I said, it's supposed to be not only just for the members of the church, but it's to be just for the baptized properly members of the church. And he's like, wow, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So you're telling me there's power in that communion? I said, yeah. How do you think you abide in? How do you continue to abide in Jesus Christ? You know, fortunately, we had a pastor who God revealed the truth to, and he revealed it to us. And it's our job to start spreading that, and not to think that, well, you know what, they're going to think we're crazy, or they're going to talk bad about us or blackball us or whatever. Well, so be it. Because now's the time, right now, to proclaim the truth, no matter what the consequences.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we're about out of time. There's another Saturday Morning Coffee with the Wranglers. We thank you, the Remnant, for calling in and joining us. And we do invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You want to hear some more stuff like this? Come on back tomorrow morning, right here, the same frequency, same internet site, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. Go to scriptures4america.org, and starting at 10 a.m. Mountain, if you click on the live video stream, you can not only hear us, but you can see us too. I've got a scriptural review of the news we'll start out with, and we're going to touch base because the world looks at tomorrow as Resurrection Sunday. They call it Easter. We're going to talk a little bit about that because that is what's going on in the news today. And then if you stay tuned, you'll get to see Ramrod there. He'll have a welcome and some interesting scriptures for us and world events. You'll see Shane and I bring some music. We'll have a good communion service. And we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message by our pastor. So we do. We invite you to church. We encourage you to come there. And remember that these broadcasts are made available by your tithes and offerings. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Thanks a lot, men. We'll see you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, big high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
big high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out,
ride them more,
snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide.
Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide.